Alex Jones.
How would you describe him?
He's a hugely influential conspiracy theorist.
His ravings are untethered from reality.
It's a nasty piece of work, but I think he's also a deflating windbag.
He's not right in the head.
I'm very pro-free speech, and the word dangerous is used far too liberally. In his case, I think it's actually justified.
Yeah. Could he be a threat to American democracy?
Everyone thinks he's a crazy motherfucker, and they never heard him talk. They think he's just nuts. And he is crazy, he is. But you gotta be crazy to stand in front of the world and put your ass on the line and say the things he's saying. So you gotta be a little crazy. It's like a rock star, like Axl Rose. Oh, he's crazy. Yeah, he's Axl fucking Rose.
There is a war for your mind.
Information is the unlock.
Information war.
I come to you with a spring in my step, a song in my heart, emotionally and spiritually refreshed, because you know how, as humans, we have to accept the fact that sometimes bad things happen to good people? Well, by the grace of God, sometimes bad things happen to Alex Jones.
That's a good thing.
The despicable and ridiculous Alex Jones
deserves every minute of torture.
I don't like giving people like Alex Jones a platform, but what do you do? He's out there.
Tucker Carlson continues to fawn over Jones, calling
him one of the most important truth tellers in America today.
What does it mean for the future of InfoWars?
InfoWars.com.
This is InfoWars, right?
I think everybody wants to know, will
he be shut down?
This verdict shuts down Alex Jones? Good.
I guess the good guys just won the info war.
He is the number one threat to these people.
Take the bullhorn away.
You know, kicked us off the internet, tried to ban our IP, got banks to cancel us, lawsuits, censorship, investigations from the FBI. I mean, everything has been thrown at us.
Take him out. Make certain he can't rebuild the platform.
That's what matters.
I hope that we never see someone like him again.
InfoWars.com lives. People can come to my show every day, 11 a.m. Central, and they can hear what I'm actually saying, Piers, versus what you're trying to put in my mouth.
You got God's warriors coming together like the SWAT team of free thought.
It has become more than ever a litmus test as to whether you get what's going on in the world or not.
This is InfoWars, right?
If you don't get what Alex Jones represents, if you can't recognize that Alex Jones is the real deal, you don't get anything.
We're going to give this information on InfoWars.
So no concept of the wider perspective here. If you still can't see through the lies that are telling you that Alex Jones is somehow not who he says he is, you still can't get it.
We've been fighting this battle for a long time, Alex, and we just got to salute you as a Christian and as American, because you paved the way to make braver soldiers like us today.
This is about good versus evil and God fighting the devil. You got to pick a side now.
Info warriors.
All we ever do is promote human freedom of every race, color, and creed. Our message is really imperative for everyone to understand, like, this is the way out. It's about understanding that every single human being has a right to live their life the way they want, unmolested and uncontrolled by those with more power than them. So no matter what they say about us, no matter how they want to portray us, just know that InfoWars really represents something totally unique, totally special, and an existential threat to the most vicious, evil, totalitarian, and importantly, miserable people on the earth. Who is the number one player in all of this? Who is the number one symbol of alternative media and, you know, internet content?
It is the legend that is Alex Jones, and you were fighting on the front line, and now we're here with you. You got some other superheroes, part of the Avenger movie, fighting for Christ and free speech.
Folks, we really are going to save this country, and we really are going to save this planet.
On InfoWars, think about that for a second.
They're going to remember Alex Jones. They're going to remember InfoWars.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on, and I'm in studio with the one and only bubbly little fairy of doom herself, Tiffany Cianci. She is, of course, an activist raising awareness about the critical threat of private equity and that the threat that it poses to American society. She's raising the alarm and putting pressure on private equity firms. You can follow her on X at TheVinoMom. That's T-H-E-V-I-N-O mom, or by going to TiffanyCianci.com. She's also on TikTok, of course, which is, I think, your main platform, right?
Yep, sure is, at Tiffany Cianci.
Well, welcome back. Good to have you here. Last time you were here, the interview went viral like 10 times over, so we got a high bar to meet here.
I feel like every time I come in, the bar gets a little higher, and we keep meeting the moment, so let's do it.
Okay, we got like five different topics to talk about. Which one do you want to start with? Private equity sort of involved in all of them. And I think that's the reason it goes viral is because people have no idea. I had no idea the danger of private equity, the horror of private equity. I mean, it's insane. Should we read some of these?
Yeah.
We mentioned this one last time you were here. Private equity is behind 70% of large U.S. bankruptcies in the first quarter of 2025.
Yep.
70%.
Well, that's up 7% from 2024, where they were responsible for 63% of the large bankruptcies. And it has reached a new record for bankruptcies for private equity-owned firms 3 years in a row. And now we're in the fourth year. It just keeps going up because that's the nature of what pirate-like private equity is intended to do. It creates a death spiral.
That's what I'm – as we go through all these stories, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it's like – it's so – evil and bad and insane how bad it all is. It's like there's got to be a new term for this. I was saying like Satan equity. Like there's got to be something that we can call this that in some way expresses how insane this is. Private equity backed companies only comprise 11% of the GDP, but 70% of the bankruptcies. Like that's, it's just a bankruptcy machine.
And what's terrifying about that is that people think like, oh, it's a bankruptcy. It's a big company. Only big companies are going to be hurt. When the bankruptcies are filed, you have to look at who's hurt by that. If you're talking about like a Francesca's or like a store that buys jewelry made by a small business, the small businesses are the debtors.
Yep.
They're the ones that will never be made whole and will also go out of business. But more than that, every time you see a major bankruptcy by a private equity owned company, like let's say Joann's, we had Joann's, Party City, Big Lots, back to back to back, right?
Yep.
What happens is that, yes, their large space gets vacant, but every small business that moved into those parking lots, relying on them as their anchor, also falls like dominoes in the months and years that follow because they no longer have the pull of a big anchor store that has brand recognition and is known well to draw people in. Or like, you know, sometimes you'll see like a Spirit Halloween comes in for a couple months and gives them a reprieve, right? Or you'll see like a furniture pop up in one of these stores. That is not bringing in 600 customers a day.
Right.
And these small businesses are going to fall too. It's a domino effect that has horrifying ripples across our entire economy.
Well, but then private equity can scoop in and swoop up some of those at rock bottom prices. I'm seeing dollar signs here.
you know, and they actually are going to do it with a large company too. Everything that Joann's was then sold off. All the intellectual property ended up going to Michaels for pennies. And now they're selling stuff with the Joann's logo on it that has horrifying quality compared to what we could get when we were there, right? You can look at Toys R Us. Somebody came in and bought the Toys R Us logo, and now they're trying to revive Toys R Us. But up until now, all they've done is license it to other people to stick on toys at sub quality. They licensed it to Macy's to add in during the holiday season. And that was somebody that just was probably involved in the deal, came through a friend and bought up the IP for whatever was left at the very end for a dollar or two. And then you have other private equity firms swooping in. So there was a franchise group that had bought a whole bunch of franchise systems, just like the one I was fighting, Unleash Brands. And they had bought up Sylvan Learning Centers. Well, Sylvan Learning Centers had quite a few scandals. They had some fraud scandals, but they also had some child
abuse.
I don't know the right way to say what I can say. They had some child grooming scandals. Mm-hmm. Some of their franchisees like fled to Spain and got caught by Interpol after they abused children in their facilities. And so nobody wanted to buy them. When the franchise large group went out of business, that bankruptcy allowed the private equity firm I'm fighting to come in and swoop them up after they couldn't buy a company for years. They were able to get that because nobody else would make an offer. So they sell to one another. It's all so incestuous. And every time that somebody goes out of business, it's a great opportunity for the next guy, except for all of the employees, all of the creditors, all of the people that were in those parking lots, and every single truck driver that used to work for them, or every single line booking company that used to book their truckers to haul stuff across the country. Every single one of the people that provided their shopping carts they owe money to, their cleaning services. Those are small businesses that are left with nothing because they are not the first in line creditors.
Yeah, it's not like Joann's goes out of business and some other person is like, well, a gap in the market, better fill this up. Because, you know, it's like, well, you know, Joann's failed. What do you think you can do better, you know, in this? It is just so destructive. And this is the crazy thing. It's like, okay, I guess it benefits the private equity owners in the short term, but it is so relentlessly destructive. And it's about way more than money, folks. Some of the stats you were telling me about ERs was blowing my mind. This is from justcareusa.org. Emerging data reveal high ER death rates at private equity-owned hospitals. So private equity is buying up hospitals, and people are dying at an increased rate of 13% in ER. But it gets worse than that.
Yeah. So first of all, they can buy just the ER. They don't even have to buy the hospital. And then their ER doesn't work with the hospital, which is a big part of the problem, right? Or they can buy the whole hospital. But worse than that, if you have a surgery at a private equity owned hospital, your risk of death after surgery is now estimated to be 42 to 45% higher than at any hospital that is not owned by private equity. If, like I was telling you, if you knew that you were going to get in one brand of car and your chance of dying in that car were 45% higher, nobody would touch that car.
Right.
Period. And yet we're not allowed to know who owns these hospitals. We're not allowed to see when these deals are done. Nobody will pass a law to let us see what we're actually walking into with our lives, our children's lives, our parents' lives. And nobody is holding these people accountable as they also bankrupt all of the rural emergency rooms and hospitals across the U.S., which is leading to countless deaths right now. There's a whole swath of private equity-owned urgent care centers, trauma centers, and like mobile or like regional emergency rooms that were bankrupted by a private equity firm where the president went and bought himself a $300 million jet and rode off into the sunset. And now there are senior citizens, pregnant women that are now 3 hours from the closest place they could go for help in America right now. And they're dying on the way because that is also a 3 hour round trip each direction for an ambulance or a caregiver. And so it's really hard to articulate how dangerous this is. It's much scarier at the nursing home stats, where you see the risk of death as like literally like 1 in 10.
Whoa.
It's a massive increase.
I mean, 43%, that is not an insubstantial increase. And it's like, is it just because they cut staff, they cut provisions? Like what could lead to a 45% increase in deaths in a surgery like that? It's like you'd have to try to achieve that.
So actually, the main thing is, so like actually about 20 years ago, there was a period where a lot of children were dying after cardiac surgeries. Mm. And they couldn't figure out why. At hospital after hospital, there were these really elevated like death rates. And they brought in pit crews from Formula One teams to analyze at these really exceptional hospitals how the handoff was causing deaths. And what was happening is they didn't have good systems and enough bodies on hand to hand everything off without causing infection, touching the wrong things, bumping the wrong things, ensuring the continuity of care and handover from the surgical team to the ICU team was strong enough. Well, what happens is as soon as a private equity firm comes in, they immediately cut staffing. They cut the standard and quality of the products in the hospital. They're going to, and they're not just going to cut staffing. They're going to cut the expensive staffing. So you're losing your best nurses, your most seasoned nurses. They might fire all of the really seasoned people and hire in people fresh out of school, right? And then they're going to stretch them thinner and thinner and thinner. I've seen recovery centers for senior citizens coming out of surgery that have one RN, just an RN, overnight for 65 patients. Whoa. 65 patients.
And there's no way to know which hospitals are owned by private equity and which aren't.
I mean, if they used to be public, you can find out details of a sale. But if it's changed again after that, no. Unless they've issued a press release, which they rarely do, it's very difficult to track. However, we could pass a law that says we get to know that. We could pass a transparency law that says we get to know where we take our children to the doctor, to the orthodontist. We should be able to know where we take our pets to the vet. We should know this.
It's just insane. And I want to get into some of the things that are happening because there are people that are aware of this and are helping to fight back on it. But again, just sticking with the hospital stuff, like this, people need to know this. This could save your life. Researchers believe that significant staffing and salary cuts, as much as 18%, are the likely reason of the rise in emergency room patient deaths. And they say that private equity's profit-making strategies are especially dangerous for people with Medicare, who tend to be more vulnerable than younger patients. The researchers analyzed 10 years of Medicare claims data. They looked at more than 1 million emergency room visits and 121,000 hospitalizations in intensive care units in 49 private equity-owned hospitals and compared patient health outcomes to those in 293 non-private equity-owned hospitals. And they found a increased risk of death by 13% in the ERs alone. That's not including the surgeries you were talking about earlier. So, like, to me, this would be an argument that, like, they should never own hospitals.
Never.
Like, forget the law saying that it has to be exposed. How about private equity is never allowed to own hospitals?
It's been a constant complaint for a lot of us, as we've seen insurance companies able to reject things doctors say patients need. We say non-doctors shouldn't be able to practice medicine. Private equity firms sure as heck should not be allowed to practice medicine. And what we have is dollars and board members controlling the decision making that should be in the hands of doctors. And what they'll do is they'll put one doctor on the board to oversee 13 or 15 or 25 places, and that gets them through. That is insufficient, and our legislators should be doing something. I'm not somebody that thinks we need over regulation, but there are some things. If my daughter is going to a hospital and she is 8 years old and she's about to have surgery and she has a 43% higher chance of dying after that surgery, I want to know who owns that hospital.
Yeah.
I want to know.
And like, I'm obviously not a fan of government run healthcare. And I think we've seen how badly that can go in the sense that people will die, but also they'll just start killing you, like in Canada with MAID, because it's cheaper to kill somebody than to actually keep them on life support. So I don't like that. But at the same time, I don't think hospitals are where you should be making money. I don't think it should be like you should be driven by how to squeeze the most amount of profit from this. I don't know how you build regulations to say that. I mean, it used to be that hospitals were funded by churches. Why, like here in Austin, we have St. David's, and like it used to be sort of a Christian charity type thing would support a lot of hospitals. But how are we allowing hospitals to be taken over by people whose only concern, not even that like it's they care about money more than patients, they seem not to care about patients at all, and they only care about exploiting it to the maximum degree. I would say that's not something we should let happen.
I mean, we absolutely should not be letting that happen, but it's not just that it's happening there. It's happening in so many places across our medical services, right? We're also seeing it in children's urgent care centers, pediatric offices. We're seeing it in tons of surgical centers, like outpatient surgical centers. You're seeing it in orthodontia. You're seeing a ton of it right now in ophthalmology, and those are surgical centers. We're seeing it all across a litany of different services in the medical field. And I don't know if you remember this when I first came on, but I mentioned to you in a prior visit that when private equity started trying to decide how to spend their money. They wanted to spend it wisely when they thought a recession was coming, right? This was during 2020. And they said they were going to start only investing in the things we were emotionally committed to. That means that they wanted to invest in things that we would find a way to pay for no matter what. They said that if we couldn't afford it, we would borrow it. If we couldn't borrow it, we would steal it. If we couldn't steal it, we would sell something. They wanted those services exclusively. They wanted veterinary care. They wanted home services. They wanted medical services. They wanted funeral services. And as we get closer to what looks like a giant bubble in our economy, they are doubling down on that promise, and they are targeting specifically the things that serve our children, our parents, our pets, the things we love and care about, and they're doing it with malicious intent.
And they're doing it in a way that is monopolistic, so it's not like you can just choose somewhere else to go. They're buying up every, you know, every gym, every... I'm trying not to tease the youth
what's
sports
coming.
Thing is huge. Yeah, and we're going to get into that. But they monopolize these industries, so it's not like you can always just go to somewhere that's not owned by private equity.
And one of the things that I've been advocating for such a long time is that right now our antitrust laws are woefully outdated. They were conceived of in a time when nobody realized that we would have massive consolidation in regions. They were made so it was only nationally, and it was only if it was a cost passed along to the consumer. And that's why our FTC, even when Lena Khan was at the head of it, was having such a hard time going after, like, for instance, our technology companies, because the old laws were written for a time that never conceived of a digital world, never conceived of companies being so willing to collude, so willing to engage in antitrust-like behavior, right? They never conceived of that. And they never conceived of regional monopolies. That was never a thought for them. And so our laws have to be updated. But we have an absolutely incapable and unwilling Congress to move on anything that a billionaire isn't paying for at this point.
Right.
However, if you want to be on TikTok, we will definitely get that done.
Yeah.
No problem. If we want to send money overseas, got you. If a billionaire really needs you to sneak in some kind of immunity bill, no problem. But your citizens right now, what did he just, Trump just said that he's making the next year about affordability? Well, we could start by eliminating all of the monopolies. You could get Congress to just pass a single bill that targets all of the ways that monopolists are circumventing the original laws. And we could knock all pricing down immediately across the board. We could do it in a minute.
But we can't do it with the laws as they stand now.
We can't do it with the laws as they stand now. There was some interest in utilizing an old law that was kind of outdated called the Robinson-Patman Act. Alvaro Bedoya and Lena Khan were doing some really interesting work with that. And I still believe there's room there. That's a law that said that you couldn't have, like, two competitors collude to ice a smaller competitor out of pricing in the market. So, like, a beef supplier couldn't work with Walmart some grocery store, Kroger, to ice out a smaller grocery chain from pricing on meat because that was excluding a specific smaller company. That law, they saw some interesting ways to use it, but Trump fired all of them. And now we have a woefully understaffed Federal Trade Commission right now, a woefully understaffed antitrust. Right now they have 4,000 openings for lawyers at the DOJ.
Whoa.
Because they fired everybody that was there and was able to handle the cases we had. And now we're losing a bunch of them. And a bunch more lawyers are too afraid to go in because they keep firing everybody.
Right.
I know, because my husband's a federal attorney. And we've asked friends, do you want a job? We know they're hiring. And they're like, nope, we're good.
Right. Dang, yeah. And again, this is, you know, as much as I don't want the government involved in most of my life, if there's one place the government should be involved, it's with helping to combat corporations that are exploiting the Americans. I mean, I don't have the ability to stop this happening, but collectively, we should have the ability to stop this happening. I mean, we're like not even a quarter of the way into some of the stats that you've brought that are just mind-blowing what's happening. But they're buying up hospitals and people are dying at a massive rate. They're responsible for the vast majority of bankruptcies and the really vast majority of the big bankruptcies. I mean, it just seems like vampirism, maybe vampire equity would be a better way of putting this.
Yeah.
What is the benefit? Like, I get that, like, I guess people that own private equity can make a couple bucks by killing everybody, but, like, how has this been allowed to proliferate so much?
I mean, the reality is that every single president since Carter has expanded private equity's access to act in a really unethical way. It started off really small with Carter, with just a small expansion. Back then, you could only have 35 investors in private equity and only like up to $1 million. And each president since Carter, starting with Carter, he did it too, has expanded the oversight. Because back then, over 35 investors meant you had to file with the SEC and you had to have oversight from the federal government. Okay, and we move forward. Reagan only did a tiny expansion. A lot of people like to land him with every problem we have. But you can jump forward to President Clinton, where we had the largest expansion in American history with the repeal of Glass-Steagall. He went in and basically took almost all the guardrails off. It went up to like 1,000 investors and like unlimited money. And then, and at that point, we knew there were warning bells then. Like anybody's ever seen the movie Pretty Woman, which our age group grew up watching. Edward, the main character by Richard Gere, was at a bad company doing bad things. He said, I buy big companies and I break them up and sell off the pieces and I make money. She goes, yeah, but what do you make? And he goes, I make money.
Right.
She goes, so you don't build anything? And he only became the good guy at the end when he decided to team up with American Ingenuity and build ships for America.
Right.
And he said, I don't like not making anything. I don't want to break things anymore. I want to build things. And he moved to the good side. We knew then with those warning bells under Clinton that this was bad. Right. That's when leverage buyouts became the norm and banking rules changed so that they were allowed to foist all of the debt onto the companies instead of the people that were taking out the debt.
Right.
We eliminated all liability. We did the same thing under Obama. Both of them did it with bipartisan Congresses and almost unanimous support. So it's not like, oh, it was all Clinton's fault or it was Obama's fault. Every Republican voted for it too.
Right.
Right. And then we flash forward. Trump had actually tightened restrictions in his first term. And now he just gave them our 401ks to bail them out.
Yeah, that. And of course, we covered that when it happened. And it just it's another just totally inexplicable advancement of this clearly just evil and destructive form of business.
Yeah, it really is. And there is so much we could do if they weren't paying so many members of Congress to do nothing.
Right.
There is so much we could do.
God, it's just unbelievably infuriating. And again, wait until you hear about the way they've taken over youth sports and other stuff. And look, this is one place where the left and right can come together.
Yes.
I don't know anybody that's in favor of this on the left or the right. I know we're going to talk about Chris Murphy. He's a Democrat, but like if he's going after private equity, then I'm on his team because we have to do something about this. And I don't know. I don't care whether you approach it from the side of like it's billionaires destroying things. Like if you hate billionaires and that's why you're going after it, fine. I want small businesses to thrive. That's why I hate what's going on. And I see the way it just systematically destroys small businesses, big businesses, successful businesses, kills people. I mean, it's crazy it's been allowed to go this far. So this is really an opportunity for unity.
Yeah,
for
really
Americans
is.
Versus whoever these people are.
This is a deep purple issue. And there is not a single working class American I have yet to meet that has said that they don't agree with doing something to stop the absolute strip mining of every. It's not just that they're strip mining the wealth of our communities or our rural agriculture land, too. They're buying up that, too. They're buying up all kinds of things in rural America. It's not just that they're strip mining the wealth. It's not just that they're strip mining the intellectual property. They're strip mining American excellence. We used to be a country that built things. And at this point, every time a business starts to achieve any type of excellence and starts to move onto the world stage, they are immediately swooped upon. And then we break it off and sell it up to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
Right. And it begins its every 3-year flip death spiral. Because that's what's going to happen. As soon as they're in there, things will get better for a minute. They'll get a bunch of money out of it. And then they'll flip it to the next guy and the next guy. They don't want to build anything in America. All they're doing is trying to extract as much as they can from us. And when America is left bereft, bankrupt, nothing left to us, they will simply cash out and move to the next country. Well, they will wash, rinse, repeat, and start again.
Yeah.
We need to stop it here.
It really and like you're not overblowing the threat. It
not.
Really is that voracious and that sort of greedy and just sucking everything in. And they never have to justify what they're doing because nobody's questioning them. No, you know, nobody's standing up to them. We have a few people now, you know, becoming aware of it. You obviously are leading the charge. But it's like you would think that at least they'd have to go, no, we can do this because look at how efficient we've made things. And look at how, you know, because we have all these other companies, we can make things better. But they never even have to make that argument.
Nope. That's the thing about private equity is it is private. There is no oversight. There is no questioning. No one ever calls them before the House oversight committees. Nobody drags them in for Senate hearings because they spend big on lobbying.
Yeah.
Big, big money on lobbying. And I don't know if you, I think I talked to you about this. When Trump said he was going to give them access to our 401ks, which I fought so hard against, they started a $100 million commercial campaign that told everybody how good they are for all of us. Like they were going to sway us on this. Nobody bought it. Not for a second.
It's just, it is unbelievably insane. We're not even halfway into it, folks. Stay with us. More on the other side. It's going to blow your mind. If you have a kid in sports, you absolutely need to see what comes next. It's outrageous. Stay tuned.
I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, theAlexJonesStore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, and they're all the best, the turmeric, the list goes on and on, where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product that has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal. And every day we're running flash sales that change each day on top of it. We're doing this because we know a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. You'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a loss leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing of anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air and be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay because we've got the Alex Jones Network. We've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at thealexjones.com because it doesn't just fund InfoWars as we fight to stay on here, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. Again, I don't own thealexjones.com. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. Bigly does. And so I'm just going to work there, be the news director, and we're going to continue on. And they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, because we'll never give up, never back down, never give in, we could give out, is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other, as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. The Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates. You share them everywhere. You take the clips, you take the articles, you take the video links, and that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money so we sell you great products that really work. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high quality food at reasonable prices. So you want to come back. There's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You've just got to come into our restaurant. You just got to come in and try the ultramethylene blue or the sea moss or the other products and see how great it is. And that's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free and other huge discounts right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWars existed. It will continue on despite a URL because I am the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And yeah, they're striking back. And boy, we're in the thick of a big war here. But you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this. The other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the InfoWar. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And God bless you all.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Hey,
back, folks. This is The War Room. We're talking about private equity with Tiffany Cianci. I want to let you know, folks, we are not owned by private equity. We are a small business that's thriving because of the support of our customers at thealexjonesstore.com. Support us so we don't have to be auctioned off to BlackRock and sold for parts. Go support us at thealexjonesstore.com. It's a Black Friday came early sale. It's absolutely massive. The biggest sale we've ever done. Buy one, get one on all the supplements. Methylene Blue, Life Force, Ultimate Burn. I mean, they're all incredible. Get them now. 2-for-1. Buy one, get one free. And I guess you can buy a cheap one and get a free one, a more expensive one for free. I don't know. I don't understand our sales. They seem too good to be true, but they're true. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. All apparel is 25% off as well. So stock up for Christmas today. Thealexjonesstore.com and help us get through this sort of uncertain time as we relaunch after having been destroyed illegally. But it's a story for another time. We're talking about other companies going bankrupt here with Tiffany Cianci. Follow her on X at The Vino Mom. She's also at TiffanyCianci.com, and you can find her on TikTok, of course, where she's live streaming right now. How are you doing, TikTok?
Hi, TikTok.
Oh my God, where do we even go from here? Let's stick with the hospital stuff for now.
Yeah.
Chris Murphy is talking about this, slams Prospect Medical, private equity in hospitals. And then we'll get into the pesticide stuff and the nursing home stuff. You were talking to me during the break about the Carlyle Group, nursing homes and private equity, a match made in hell. What happened with these nursing homes that were bought up by the Carlyle Group?
So Carlyle Group had assembled the largest collection of nursing homes and rehab recovery facilities for senior citizens, primarily in the United States several years back. And their death rates were significantly higher than any of their non-private equity owned counterparts. There were a bunch of investigations that were launched because Medicare and Medicaid pay for almost all nursing care. Mm. Literally 90% of nursing home facility payments come from Medicare or Medicaid. Right. 90%. Right. And so there were a bunch of investigations that were launched by like state attorney generals and things like that. And what ended up happening was after several people had died through very nefarious circumstances, just horrifying conditions, one nurse to 65, 70 patients on a night, grossly understaffed. The people that were in these nursing homes were like six times as likely to sit in their own feces or urine and not have help going to the bathroom. They weren't being bathed. They had higher broken bone rates. What ended up happening is overnight, they just closed up shop because they had cashed out enough in dividends and they bankrupted all of the nursing homes. And tens of, like just 7,000 in Pennsylvania alone, but like tens of thousands of senior citizens that were in recovery or in permanent hospice care in medical beds were kicked out the doors on 24 hours notice with no care left to help them because the nurses weren't being paid and they were homeless. Now, some of these facilities were actually long-term living facilities with nursing care, where people had given their life savings to them to live there for the rest of their lives.
Right. You pay one lump sum at the beginning, because obviously you don't know how long you're going to live. So you just say, I'll pay the maximum amount, and then I'm just here forever. And then when they bankrupt, what happens?
Then what happens is you're out. Your money's gone because you're too low on the credit totem pole.
Right.
And we're seeing this more recently. That was, a few years ago. But we're seeing this more recently. It's happening right now with a bunch of senior citizens, long-term care living situations where private equity firms flip. They do the flip I always talk about, where the first one holds them for 3 years and they flip it to the next. Mm. And what's happening is they're forcing them out by raising, like if there was a tiny caveat in the contract that says we could raise your like HOA fees, they're using it to raise them as much as like $7,000 a month.
Whoa.
So that they force them into homelessness through like this tiny loophole. And these people are on fixed incomes. They've given them their life savings.
Right.
They get none of it back and they're out with nowhere to go and they have nowhere to live. They've lost their life savings. They can't afford an extra $7,000 a month for an HOA care fee and they're homeless.
And then
overnight.
And then of course we know from our previous talks, the reason these companies don't get sued into oblivion is because they all have these private adjudication clauses in their contracts.
They all have these arbitration agreements and these non-disclosure agreements. But more than that, private equity is exceptionally good at creating shell corporations. Mm. And so what they do is they say, like in the thing up on the board about Carlyle, there was a woman who died, their family sued them, and they were able to get themselves, Carlyle Group, removed from that lawsuit because they said, whoa, 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 we didn't own this. We just managed an investment that did.
Whoa.
And they got themselves removed from the lawsuit, and so there was no one left to sue.
This is the thing. I mean, it's like the consequences are horrifying, and then they just completely avoid any responsibility for it whatsoever.
Correct. There's never accountability for these private equity firms. My lawsuit, I've been in litigation with a private equity firm. I think they've sued me like 9 times now. Like, literally, they keep suing me. They violate injunctions to sue me all the time. And in one of my cases, I did actually get a verdict in my favor. I got them found guilty of defamation. They were lying about me to, like, the press and people, right? They were lying about me. And they even with getting that tiny verdict, they were still able to convince our paid judge that it wasn't worth anything, that my reputation was not worth anything, so I shouldn't win anything.
Oh, my God.
They always find a way out.
Folks, go back and watch the other episodes we've done with Tiffany where we talk about the way arbitration is used and the way that the judges are being paid off. I mean, it is so corrupt, and it's a parallel legal system that they control that is being set up in America right now and is being used right now. Like, not set up. It is set up, and it's being used already.
That actually runs in a private equity-like way, too, though. Arbitrations, these forced arbitrations, right, are run by a single monopoly called AAA that like governs 93% of all of these secret courtrooms, and they're funded entirely by corporations. And private equity firms are some of their largest clients.
And the judges are not obligated to stick to the law.
No, they can make up their own law. They can do whatever they want. And if you go into that courtroom, if you were in a regular courtroom, on average, if you get there, you've got about a 50-50 shot of winning something in these cases. Mm. You have a 3% chance of winning in an arbitration. 3%. Wow. 3%.
Yep. So. And here we're seeing the, what happened to you when private equity came for the toddler gyms. Let's talk about youth sports.
Oh, that's actually a good segue.
Yeah, right? From Jacobin, private equity's new venture, youth sports. And I understand Chris Murphy is also, concerned about this. He's talking about the hospitals. But private equity is buying up youth sports? Like, what? How much money in youth sports is there?
$40 billion a year.
Oh, my God. Okay. I had no idea.
Well, it shouldn't be that much. What happened is private equity firms got together and did an analysis of what they thought they could make it worth in 5 years. And they thought they could make it between 40 and 50 billion. So what they did was they bought up a bunch of recreational leagues that kids could actually afford to play in. And they started squeezing and monopolizing them. So they consolidated and consolidated, but they didn't stop at just buying the leagues. They also had sister umbrella groups of private equity firms buy up all of the sports venues for the kids. They bought up all of the sports jersey making companies. They bought up all of the sports equipment providers. And then they made tying arrangements again, this is monopolistic, anti-competitive behavior.
Right.
They created tying arrangements between all of them so that they control the entire supply chain. And now they can charge whatever they want. They've also done an excellent job of convincing parents that your kids will never get into a good school if they don't have a very diverse resume when they're headed towards college. So you need sports, but you can't do it in a rec league. I was able to get scholarships because I had been in rec leagues as a kid.
Right.
I had been in recreation ballet and got a ballet scholarship, right, to an art school. They don't have that anymore. It's dying off in most communities because the rec leagues can't afford the venues anymore.
And it's crazy the amount that they're exploiting. Like, if I'm playing devil's advocate, I'm hearing this, I'm like, well, okay, but people, if they can buy these up and, the kids are still playing sports, like, what's the big deal? But it's like cartoonish the level to which they are crushing the rights of parents to just squeeze a little bit more money out of them.
It's literally like egomaniacal maniac level.
Yeah.
Like it's horrible. They're like super villains.
And so what was it, Chris Murphy that his son played in a hockey league? Because this is hockey league. This is little league. I mean, these are the sports that we all grew up playing are now being centralized and monopolized by private equity. And it's just, it's the normal sports. It's hockey. It's whatever. And so what happened, Chris Murphy, I guess, representative from, is it Connecticut?
Yeah, Connecticut.
Goes to his son's little league hockey game. And what happened?
So he was filming his son playing hockey, and a representative for, I think it's like the Bears, I don't know what it's called, the Bear Sports Group. This private equity company came over to talk to him and said, "Excuse me, sir, like, what are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm taking a picture of my son." And they said, "You don't have a subscription for that." And he says, "What do you mean I don't have a subscription?" They say, "You're not allowed to record your children in our venues without paying this hundreds of dollars cost for a subscription to photograph your own child." And he said, "And if I keep photographing my child?" They said, "Well, it was in the agreement you signed to sign him up for the league that he will fall out of playoff contention. We will give demerits against the team for every parent that photographs their child. So they no longer qualify for playoff contention." It's sick.
So private equity buys a hockey league, and then the parent, like a children's little league hockey league, and then the children or the parents cannot take pictures of their children playing sports, or else they punish the team and remove their ability to play in the playoffs.
In this case, I think they bought the venue, and then like a sister private equity firm bought the team. But yes.
Yeah, Black Bear Sports Group, an emerging youth hockey empire and the largest owner-operator of hockey rinks in the country, is among the private equity-backed companies that are amassing a chokehold on recording and streaming youth sports. At Black Bear-owned ice rinks, parents cannot record, post, or live stream their kids' hockey games online per official company policy, according to the staff at those venues. Some rink attendants say they will confiscate attendees' recording devices if they find them. That is insane. That is insane.
They have even taken Meta glasses.
Oh
yeah,
my
I'm
God.
Not kidding. It
so they're
is
like
horrifying.
They're like paying people to like stay in these venues and look for people trying to take pictures of their children playing sports.
And they also have financial penalties if they catch you, in addition to like the team penalties. This is not like one sport, right? They didn't just buy up the hockey rinks, which this particular private equity firm actually did buy like a monopoly on all of the ice rinks in that region. But they're also buying up the soccer venues. They're buying up everything to do with lacrosse. They're buying up everything to do with baseball. Baseball is horrifying. Like a travel team baseball team now can cost you $8,000 a season, $10,000 a season, because they own everything. They own all of the equipment suppliers. They have control over, and it's not just like they also control all of like the uniforms, but it's worse because they might send you to your mandatory uniform company. They could pass along savings to you. They could make it so poor kids can afford this. But instead what they do is they hike the prices way up, and the difference in what it actually costs is kicked back to the private equity firm in the form of something called a rebate revenue. So they're making money on every single possible facet, and they have iced all poor kids out of sports and recreation in the United States. It is disgusting. And this is another reason why we are suffering on the national stage, why we have fallen in the rankings in the Olympics year after year, because we are not cultivating the best of our talent. We're only cultivating the wealthiest at this point. And that means that as America, once again, private equity has gotten in the way of like establishing American excellence on the world stage.
Right.
And other countries are laughing at us.
Right.
They are laughing at us because we are okay allowing these billionaires to get richer and richer and richer, while we let the actual businesses, the actual athletes, the actual music, like instrument players that would be exceptional, get iced out of everything by these billion-dollar companies that are literally strip mining the heart and soul of middle America.
I don't think you're overstating it. I think that's exactly what it is. And again, you just go from, okay, they're kicking, you know, old people in hospice out of their nursing homes, and they're taking over hospitals, and the death rate goes up 43%, and they're taking over youth sports and charging parents to take pictures of their own children. And it's just, this is the thing. It's like vampire equity, Satan equity. This isn't private equity. This is something else. This is like so ubiquitous and so just obviously, I would call it anti-capitalistic, but like it's such an abuse of our system. I don't understand how there's not more resistance to this.
You know, there a lot of people don't recognize that monopolies were considered so dangerous to the underlying fabric of the American like system and republic that they are the only laws in the United States that have a civil and criminal penalty that are allowed to be enforced by parties other than the state.
Oh.
So the problem is it's a very expensive thing to do. But in addition to the DOJ's antitrust division or an attorney general's ability to do it, antitrust laws are the only laws in the U.S. where regular citizens can bring an antitrust case. The problem is we can't afford to. If we all got together and pooled, $100 million, they would spend $200 million. If we pooled $200 million, they would spend $300 million, because that is still better as a cost of doing business when you are bringing in billions. It is hard to understand how much $1 billion is.
Yeah.
You could literally spend $27,000, I think, like a minute, and you wouldn't spend $1 billion in like 10 years.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, you're right. When we throw around these words like billion, it's hard to get a grasp of even what we're talking about. But just on the individual level, people, you're a kid, you play sports, you don't know how much it costs, you don't really care. Then you become an adult and you go to pay for your kids' sports. You're like, is this how expensive it always was? And the answer is no. The answer is like, this is not normal. People just accept it. They just go, oh, gee, well, okay. I mean, things sure are more expensive than when I was a kid. But it's like, no, they are deliberately jacking up the prices extremely rapidly. Again, from the same story, according to a recent study from the Aspen Institute, households now spend an average of $1,000 a year on their child's primary sport, a 46% increase since 2019. 6 years ago, it would have cost about $500. Now it costs $1,000, and yet it happens incrementally, and so people don't even notice, or they just think, well, gosh, things are more expensive. No, this is deliberately being done to you.
And this is, I mean, that is taking an analysis of all households, including non-sports households. If you actually look at, like, the gymnastics households, if you actually look at, like, lacrosse or travel ball, I am not exaggerating when I say if you are on a travel team, you can blow $8,500 in a four-month season.
Wow.
If you want your child to be allowed to play, to have a chance at a scholarship after high school. Because if you don't have that paid experience, you're not even in consideration or contention. Cheerleading is just as bad, by the way. It's, right. It's like there's all kinds of sports going on here. And what's happening is that they have done analysis. More Perfect Union today actually released a really great video on the ways that our farmers in middle America are being squeezed by these monopolies and by, like, private equity firms. What happens is farmers in America, there's a certain number of acres that are owned, and there's a certain number of dollars they can charge per, like, bushel of something.
Okay.
And these monopolies have so consolidated at this point that they have calculated exactly how much they can take from a farmer to make sure that they barely survive so that they can't push back. And so they've gotten it to a point where farmers are making less than they've ever made and working harder than they've ever worked. And they're in more debt than they've ever been in. And now we're giving money to, like, Argentina and to not sell our soybeans to China anymore, right? But the same thing is happening in families. These private equity funds, these billionaires have paid McKinsey and Deloitte to do exacting studies to see exactly how much money our households have that they can pull to make sure that we can't push back. They inundate us with all of these statements that we have to have our kids in all of these different activities and that we have to have this and we have to have that or they won't be successful later in life. And you need your refrigerator to work and you need a car and you need your parents to be taken care of. And they raise their prices and raise their prices in lockstep because when you're colluding, there is no competition. There's no reason to lower a price.
Right.
They are working together and no one is stopping them. And it is horrifying.
It really is. Here's another good transition. Speaking of farming, folks, you thought it bad already. Okay, we've explained the ER death rates, maximizing. We've explained the way they're kicking old people out of nursing homes and taking advantage of kids who just want to play sports. What about pesticides? This is so crazy to me, and you just sent this article over. Explain this one to us from Friends of the Earth, published 2 days ago. 1 year later, toxic pesticides still present in Target's baby food. Lab tests reveal residue from 16 highly hazardous pesticides in one bottle of baby food from Target's Good and Gather line. 16 different pesticides in one jar of baby food.
And 10 of them are banned in the European Union and all of our sister countries, but not here in America. We love them. We love them. They're our favorite, right? And another one of them had 24 pesticides in it, by the way. It's horrifying. So a couple years ago, Friends of the Earth took samples of a bunch of jars of baby food from Target so that they could make sure it wasn't just like a one-off. They took them from different stores and different places, and they sent them off to a lab to see how many of these jars of baby food would test positive for toxic pesticides. And it was significant. So they went back to Target and said, please fix this. They've had a couple years to fix it. And when they tested them this time, it had gone up.
Oh my God.
So what we're seeing now is that, and I chronically say this, we have become a country that supports MAHA. We want healthy kids. We want childhood obesity to come down. We want to end the chronic disease epidemic. We know for a fact, farmers that work with pesticides have a 1,000% increased risk of lymphoma. They have the highest cancer rate of any profession in the United States,
yep.
Right? They are dying of lymphoma and leukemia more than any other job. These are the people that have food coming straight out of the ground. These are the people that have meat they can slaughter in their own barn. And they are dying of these horrifying diseases, right? Simultaneously, we're losing 63 family farms a day in the United States because farmers are either dying or retiring and nobody else will go into it because it's so consolidated, right? And so we know these pesticides are scary. We know this is a consolidated monopolistic environment. And now we have baby food riddled with pesticides. So what's our government going to do? We have a plan. Are you ready?
Oh, God.
We're going to include an amendment to the 2026 appropriations bill to fund our government to give pesticide immunity to the agrochemical corporations so no American can sue them. That's what we're going to do.
Yep. And, of course, our audience will be aware of the way that this already happens with vaccines. They're now doing it with pesticides. Pesticide immunity bill could strip away legal rights from WisnerBaum.com. Two U.S. states have already enacted industry-backed laws while federal legislation advances, creating unprecedented corporate shields against legal accountability. So you can no longer sue pesticide companies for the negative consequence of pesticides like atrazine.
So if we're supporting MAHA, right, we say we're a country that wants these healthy kids. Do you know what Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s largest verdicts that made him famous were for? They were for suing Bayer Monsanto for the largest verdicts ever awarded for killing farmers.
Yep.
That is what Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s life's work was dedicated to. And now, with him as the head of HHS, we're going to sneak pesticide immunity into an appropriations bill while he's busy not suing them, right?
Right.
So that no one can ever advocate for those farmers again.
It's just, again, it's just insanity piled upon insanity. After contentious U.S. committee vote, Bayer and allies a step closer to new federal protections for pesticides. A group of U.S. lawmakers on Tuesday, this is from back in July of 2025, failed to beat back a provision in a congressional appropriations bill that would have helped protect pesticide makers from being sued and could hinder state efforts to warn about the risks of pesticide products. They are actually going in and making it more difficult to protect yourself from pesticides. I mean, it is just terrible. I don't even have words for the ridiculousness that we're experiencing
now,
here.
I like to talk about hope because I talk about hope a lot, even though I seem like the little fairy of doom. We're going to actually give some more cookies to a Democrat today.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Cory Booker.
Okay.
Cory Booker introduced the Pesticide Accountability Act. And
I'm
he can't get
it.
Any co-sponsors.
Oh, my God.
But he introduced an act that said that would end this pesticide immunity effort. And it would say that all of these pesticide companies can be held accountable for anyone they kill, anyone they harm, they maim.
It's one in Europe, you know, they have protections against this. Like we were just saying, a lot of the toxic pesticides found right. in baby foods are banned in the European Union. Is this not something that we can come together on? I know, you know, I know I'm as bad as anybody about demonizing the left, but like if we can come together on this, I'm for it. There are certain things that should cross party lines. Protecting our food supply from pesticides, protecting our children from PFAS, is that not something we can come together on?
This is something that not only do we have almost unanimous support for across party lines. When I say unanimous, I mean like 98% of Americans don't think they should have immunity. Like 96% of Americans don't want excessive pesticides in their food very, very explicitly, right? Everyone says that they would buy organic if they could. But a lot of people don't know organics are covered in pesticides too, unless they're greenhouse grown, right? And so what we see is an amazing opportunity for unanimity, except that Bayer Monsanto and the rest of the agrochemical companies have an absolute chokehold on our Congress. And it is so much a chokehold that these farms we were just talking about that are going out of business, these 63 farms a day, that's because every farm subsidy bill that gets issued, more and more, the agrochemical companies have lobbied to tie the subsidies for these farmers to paying them.
Right.
So you give a subsidy to a farmer and the only thing they can buy is pesticides.
Wow.
Can't buy anything else with it, right? And that's because these corporations have too much influence, all the influence over our Congress.
Wow.
It has to end.
Well, Tiffany, you've done it again. you've taken me. I didn't think I could be less hopeful, and my God, is it bad. But no, it is hopeful because people are aware of this. You're aware of it. We're spreading
the
word
about it. We can back Cory Booker's bill. We can call our reps and try to get somebody to co-sponsor that. We can fix this.
And that's what we
need.
We
have time.
People don't know about this. If they knew about it, they would be on our side. If they knew about it, they would stand up against it. This could be an extremely popular political stance if politicians would come on our side, abandon the agrochemical companies, and stop the pesticides from poisoning our children. Is that not victory waiting to be seized? Tiffany Cianci at the Vino Mom on X. Thank you so much for being with us once again.
Oh,
incredible.
Everything we do is the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear when you spread the word, when you pray for us, when you buy products. So listen, we have shortfalls, and they're not even that big, but I understand the economy's totally shot. Our audience is as big as it's ever been, and back when the economy was going and we had an audience this big, we'd be in high cotton and I'd be able to expand. Right now, I'm just trying to stay on air. So I need you to make the decision to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and take advantage of the biggest sale ever. Black Friday came early. That's right. Black Friday has come early. We always launch it the weekend after before Black Friday. Be a little different. Black Friday comes early. Mega sale, the biggest sale ever. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. The Irish Sea Moss, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and dozens of other amazing products. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. Ends Friday, November 28th. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement for free. Normally, it's buy one bottle of Irish Sea Moss, get another bottle of Irish Sea Moss, or buy one bottle of Methylene Blue, get another bottle. No, this is add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Friday, November 28th. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the InfoWar. Take advantage of this amazing deal while supplies last. And here's another little tidbit that makes this a total loss leader when you use it. If you go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Droid or Apple app for free, that are the top apps, just in the last few months we launched it, folks at Bigly, the Alex Jones channel, the Alex Jones network, it's the same shopping cart on the app, for your desktop or phone, you get an additional 20% off at checkout on top. So everybody should get the app and should definitely use that. But if you want to support us more, get more funds in, then don't use the app and get the additional 20% off. I'm serious. It's like a form of a donation. When I tell you that I need your support, it's absolutely critical. This is the most critical time.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.